Callaway was arrested. He's out of jail. And I understand he will still be speaking at the fundraiser for Liberty and Prosperity, and that will be in 2 weeks. We'll bring on Seth for a few minutes earlier today, and we'll bring in Seth. Seth, good morning and welcome. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity.
Good morning, and yes, we'll have plenty to discuss. I'd like to begin by talking about that horrible crime that Craig Callaway committed, I guess, 23 years ago. And it's very interesting when we talk about a lot of people like Trump, where what is horrible now, 20, 30 years ago, was normal. And to understand what Craig Callaway did 23 years ago, do you know the supermarket tabloid, The Globe?
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that, but that was...
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Back in 1997, a sensational supermarket tabloid, and their big story was about Frank Gifford, a football player who became a journalist married to Kathy Lee Gifford. And you do you remember that scandal? That
yes, I did. Oh, yes, yes.
The very attractive airline stewardess, for whatever reason, got Frank Gifford to come to the room and took the videotape, and it was put on the, on the Globe, all the pictures in the tabloid magazine. And it was a whole controversy and as to whether, you know, who's at fault. Is it horrible for the magazine and for the woman to do this? Because at the time, you know, when you took these videos, if one person consented to it, it was legal, it was normal, it was horrible, it was a dirty trick. But it was done, and of course, after that, in 1997, laws were passed in New Jersey to make what used to be normal and legal a crime. Until 1997, in that Kathy or that Frank Gifford situation, it was not a crime. Of course, Craig Callaway, not being a lawyer, had no idea, or neither did some of the other more respectable Republicans. I won't even name their names who were involved in that. But what happened there was you had this guy called Gene Robinson, who was sort of a wannabe politician who could never win an election. And he called himself a preacher. And he was running for election, and he promised Craig Callaway, if you support me and get me elected, I will make you count for president. And, of course, as soon as Gene Robinson won the election because of Craig Callaway, he double-crossed Callaway and picked somebody else. And in the Jewish community, this particular Gene Robinson also said, you know, I'm a friend of the Jewish community. I really feel horrible, you know, bad for the anti-Semitism going on in the black community. And then when Louis Farrakhan came to town, there was Gene Robinson, as a councilman, sitting on the podium right with Louis Farrakhan. So here you had this politician who would often say one thing and do another. And as he called himself a preacher, he would go out on Pacific Avenue and picking up prostitutes. And that was not a fake prostitute, by the way. That was a real one. And so to show the hypocrisy, Callaway did that, not knowing that what the Globe had done with Frank Gifford was now a crime. Horrible. Looking back on today's standards, we would never, ever do that today. But, you know, what's horrible today, it's tough to judge what was going on, you know, 23, 24 years ago. Anyway, but that's not the issue right now as far as we're concerned. We invited Craig Callaway to speak to Liberty and Prosperity for our yearly fundraiser, not just to raise funds, but to have, as you pointed out, a teachable moment. And 2024 is a very, very important election year. And we had four important questions. How do mail-in and messenger ballots work? How do they change elections? How do they change election campaigns? How did Democrats use mail-in and messenger ballots in 2020 to win Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and those other swing states? How did they help Murphy defeat Cetarelli for governor in 2021? Why do black Americans vote overwhelmingly for Democrats? How can Republicans win their votes again? How can conservatives and Republicans win national and New Jersey elections again? So those are the fundamental questions that we had. And after Craig Callaway was arrested And we were frantically looking for other speakers. Craig called and said, no, I want to speak on the very topics you invited me to speak about. And after talking to several of our members, we agreed, all right, let's continue, because that doesn't affect the program. And then when we read more carefully into the actual details of the charges against Craig Calloway, we start to wonder whether he is being prosecuted because he committed a great amount of vote fraud, or because he's a black man who works for Republican candidates from time to time. And especially when you look at the affidavit, Craig Calloway, by the way, he's being charged with submitting four fraudulent votes in November 22 out of the 851 messenger ballots he delivered. And a couple of things are curious. Maybe the FBI has evidence that they're not showing, but they're saying that the reason that the votes are fraudulent are because the people who voted those ballots said they didn't remember voting. I would expect, you know, when you sign false statements on a messenger ballot, they'd say, well, here's the forged signature. And that's obviously not the signature of the person who did it. But the FBI chose not to investigate this, even though they took 5 weeks of surveillance and video before the 2022 election. It appears they waited till after all the absentee ballot documents were destroyed before they did this investigation to bring the charges. And it just so happens that the charges are brought a year later, just when someone like Calloway would be working for Republicans again in a 2024 important election. So, you know, I don't know the facts, but, you know, we decided to just go forward.
Well, you explained that, but it's in my opinion, I mean, you have your opinion, I have mine. It's a bad look. That's all there is to it.
No question. I mean, obviously, we wanted a lot of publicity before the fundraiser.
Well, you got it.
when you're working out the details of a fundraiser and you get a call from Amy Rosenberg of the Philadelphia Inquirer, yeah, you know it's not going to be a good day.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the background. And meanwhile, there are other things going on, which I'd like to discuss, if it's possible.
Oh, sure.
And that is, number one, you know, Rob Thomas, well-known singer-songwriter with Matchbox 20, came to the, I guess, Hard Rock Cafe or Hard Rock to do a concert a couple weeks ago. And, of course, he interrupted, not just interrupted, but during the concert, he said, look, I love the audience. I love performing here in Atlantic City, but I can't escape the fact that we've had five murders just outside this casino in the last 2 weeks. And in Atlantic City, we've got to do something about what's going on. And that really goes to the heart of what Liberty and Prosperity is promoting, the fact that, you know, if you don't have liberty, if people can't be safe, if you don't have a system of respect for law, if you don't have laws that people understand, and people could just do what they want to do, you could have all the money in the world, all the casinos, all the security, all the everything, and you can't have a civilized society. And the fact that you have an entertainer like Rob Thomas, who's just performing at a casino, can't do a concert without mentioning it, I think that shows, you know, the problem that we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And then another thing with the media, one of the side notes when I was interviewed for the press by Craig Calloway, about Craig Calloway, I found out, sadly, that the editorial page manager, a guy called Kevin Post, was laid off by the press. And as you notice, the Press of Atlantic City, our last remaining newspaper, has been getting more and more woke every year. And Kevin Post, who, you know, manages the editorials and the letters to the editor, has been very fair and very capable. And the fact that he's now gone just means the press is just going to go even further to the left than it already is. That was a sad thing to notice.
More and more, they're giving less and less of the local stuff. You know, have you noticed that? They're like,
I, I, I did, and basically the whole press is they have like a little column on one page, a little square in fine print, and that's all the local news, and the rest of the paper is just national stories promoting a leftist agenda on just about everything.
That's right.
But I still have my subscription. I'm going to keep it going for the rest of the year anyway. And then the other major story going on with with the wars in the Middle East. One of the things that we point out every week at Liberty and Prosperity is that there are enemies who really want to destroy America and destroy our way of life. And one of them is basically a communist mafia that includes the leaders of North Korea and China and Russia. So we always talk about Putin, and we talk about Xi and the Chinese. It's really one basically movement that cannot survive if people are free and independent. And they are using every lie, every trick, every bribe to destroy us. And we point out every week that instead of talking about China, Russia, North Korea, we need to talk about the overall movement that has been trying to destroy our way of life for more than 100 years. But you can't even say the word communism or communist, but that's how you identify your enemy. And the other thing that's going on right now, of course, is the jihad movement against America, against Europe, against Israel, and against India. And what has gotten almost no, news reports whatsoever is what's going on in India. And basically, last week, they had what's called India Republic Day. And the Prime Minister of India, Prime Minister Modi, dedicated a Hindu temple right in a spot that the Muslims were claiming was their sacred ground. And basically, he just built a Hindu temple, and thousands of people went to that village to pray there. And right away, the jihadists are backing away. In other words, when India showed determination and strength, the jihadis are backing off. And Israel is fighting back. And it seems that the only people who are not fighting back against these jihadi attacks are the Christians. In Europe, the Christians in Africa, Christians in America, that Christians are being murdered in the Philippines, in Africa, every week. And you hear nothing about it. Nothing's being done to defend them. So needless to say, we're the subject of the attacks, whereas India and Israel fighting back, they're going to be safe. So it's interesting to know that when you're strong and you fight back, you're actually safer than when you're weak and you try to apologize and make deals with everybody. And that brings us to one little detail about Islam. Since last month, of course, was Muslim Heritage Month in New Jersey. And there are really two movements within Islam that Americans know very little about. And that goes to the meaning of the word jihad. Because according to the mainstream interpretation of Islam, there was a time when Muhammad said, we have to give up. And he was coming back from the Battle of Badr, B-A-D-R. And Muhammad said, we have to go away from the lesser jihad, and we have to go to the greater jihad. And for like hundreds of years, mainstream Muslims said that meant that Muslims no longer had to fight wars and kill non-believers. It meant looking for, inner spiritual strength. However, a sect or a cult of Islam called the Wahhabi sect or the Jihad sect or the radical type of Islam they have in Iran did the opposite. They said, oh, no, the most important mission of every Muslim is to kill anyone who doesn't believe and have constant war against the non-believers. But for hundreds of years, that violent interpretation of Islam was isolated, it was radical, it was on a margin. But only since oil was discovered in Saudi Arabia, with the Saudis giving billions of dollars each year to promote the radical type of Islam, that's what's causing this worldwide attacks on us against the world, against us around the world. And we have to learn to recognize our enemy, because if we don't recognize our enemy and we always try to apologize and make peace with them, they will see us as weak and they will keep attacking us. So anyway, and Israel is fighting back, India is fighting back, but you don't see any publicity or any news reports about the dramatic change going on in India. But it's very real, and India is now taking the leadership in this worldwide fight to save civilization.
Why is that, that they don't say anything about India?
I don't know. But if you Google it, in fact, if you use that mytakelive.com to sort of see the different views of news, you see it's out there. But in the mainstream American media, they're really downplaying it, and you really wonder who our media is working for. But if you would look up Modi, if you would look up India, if you would look up New Hindu Temple, you'll see a lot of news stories. And everybody thought that by Modi taking that stand, it would cause division. But all the news is saying how the whole country of India is rallying behind him to stand up for Indian values and Western values. So that's one of the things going on. And little details. Of course, the in Atlantic City, the road diet is going forward. So even though Atlantic City and the state spent millions of dollars making streets wider to accommodate the Hard Rock Casino and the what used to be the Revel Casino, we are now taking Atlantic Avenue and turning it from a four-lane street to a two-lane street to create traffic, and it's all done to promote this this woke environmental agenda of punishing people who use cars or who commute to and from work. We have that going on. And the other shock that I just got, remember the lawsuit that Liberty and Prosperity brought to try to get the casinos to pay their fair share of the taxes?
Yes, I remember.
The court just stalled it and just did nothing about the case for a year and a half. I just got notice yesterday that the case will be heard on March 20th. So we'll see if anything happens there.
Well, good luck with that one. That's an ongoing. It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, after all the money's gone, the court will finally hear the case, and who knows what we're going to decide. So, see, you got me all wound up, and I had said everything I had to say 3 minutes early. So,
yeah, well,
don't figure.
I gave you 3 minutes extra.
Well, anyway, so if you're listening and it's a Saturday, the Liberty and Prosperity meeting starts from 9:30 to 10:30 for breakfast. All this is what we talk about. If you're listening Sunday, come to our meeting next week. And, of course, everything that I probably will say, gee, I should have brought this up, it's posted at libertyandprosperity.com.
Seth, thank you, as always. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity, his website, libertyandprosperity.com.